This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're going to get to the welfare state in this country, and someone thinks that's the reason the American family has been destroyed. I'll get to that in a second. I don't agree or disagree, but I do want to answer the question. Someone wants to know about Chinooks, if I ever rode in a Chinook and helicopter rides. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you my bad story first, or at least the one that makes me look like a wuss. When we were all done in Iraq, and we never knew, when I was in Iraq, we didn't have, there weren't set rotations for when we were going to leave, because we were there for the initial invasion. So they hadn't yet fallen into a routine of, hey, you're here for 6 months, you're here for a year. There was none of that. So we never knew when we were going home, ever. There was no, and there'd be a new rumor every other day. I mean, we were a month into the war, and they were telling us, oh, man, rumor has it, you'll be out of here in 3 weeks. And then 2 months came by, and 3 months came by, and 4 months came by. And there was always a new rumor, you're going home. And none of it turned out to be true. Finally, I think it was 9 or 10 months, we got official word, yes, you're going home. So you had to gather up all your stuff, you get in all your packs and whatnot. And then we had to go, they had a secure runway. I certainly wouldn't call it an airfield. They had a secure runway close to where we were. We all had to go out there, and they have you all, you're all sectioned off in different, you know, there's 50 guys here and 50 guys there and 50 guys here. You're all in a line down the airfield, and you're getting ready for a ride out. And in flew this long line of Chinook helicopters to come in and pick us up. They land. That back part goes down, we all hop in, and you sit down in these benches lining the walls of the helo. Back comes up, and up they go, and they take off. That was one of the more nerve-wracking experiences I've ever had in my life during the entire war, was the flight out. And it's not necessarily just because it was a helo, but I thought to myself, and I don't know why I went there, the second we took off, I thought to myself, I'm going to be so upset if I lived through this entire war and then catch an RPG in the bottom of this Chinook or some kind of helo problem. It goes down and we all go down and die. I would be so upset if I had to live through the whole war and then die like that. So I did not end up dying. The Chinooks took us out of there, and we ended up going back to Kuwait and that's where they processed us out so we could go home. But that's the scaredy cat story with the Chinook. There is a little cool story, though. This was during training, not during combat. At some point they make you do, if you're in the infantry, mountain warfare training.
Now, what that meant for us, we went up to Northern California. People think all of California is, you know, the beautiful beach. Oh, San Diego, it's wonderful. No, that's not true. Northern California is beautiful too, but just in a different way. Gigantic redwoods, and they have mountains and things like that up there. Well, they have a Marine Corps base, kind of, I guess, training facility up there for mountain warfare training. Now, there are a bunch of different aspects to mountain warfare training. Some of them less pleasant than others. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell my bunny killing story. That's a story I've been told I should never tell again on the air. Not by the suits. No, it wasn't the suits, Chris. You know the suits don't do that. My sister, last time I told that bunny killing story, she called and said, that's a terrible story. Don't ever tell that again on the air. It's too ugly. It's too ugly. People won't. What, you think I should? All right. Let's tell the bunny killing story. This is on Chris. I want you to understand. This is on Chris. If I'm just going to give it to you straight. All right. Part of mountain warfare training was learning how to survive in the mountains. And I'll be frank with you. I don't know if it's still this way today. I suspect it is. Probably less so, but I suspect it is. Part of Marine Corps training in general, it's not just in boot camp, part of Marine Corps training in general is a little sadistic. But that's, look, if you want a good military unit, it has to be a little sadistic. Let's be honest, that's your job, is to kill. And they can make all these flowery, fluffy videos and whatnot, but your job is to stay alive and to kill people. That is your job. It's an ugly bit of business. And this is military units throughout history. They've had their guys in training kill humans, kill captured soldiers and slaves just so they could learn what it's like to kill. I mean, that's ugly. That's an ugly side of life. You can not like that. But it is what it is. I served with some hard dudes. I wasn't necessarily one by any stretch of the imagination, but I served with some hard dudes. I watched some grown men turn into blubbering babies one day because they decided they were going to teach us the best way to trap and kill and skin and eat a rabbit. Now, I grew up rabbit hunting with my dad. You know what rabbits are. You probably have them all around you. Nasty little rat-looking things. I mean, I don't have any animosity towards rabbits, but I'm certainly not pulling over on the side of the road, and if I see some wild rabbit dead and injured there, or dead or injured there, I'm just going to move on and not think about it. The Marines, for whatever reason, they think it's funny, or at least they did back then, when they're teaching you this thing, they think it's a good idea to bring out the biggest, fluffiest, most adorable rabbit in the history of mankind. And this was a setting. Okay, so we have the mountains behind us. And they have these kind of crappy bleachers set up. And they take, you know, a bunch of Marine grunts. They take us and we all sit in the bleachers and we know what it's going to be. It's about the rabbit and how do we skin it and how do you survive? We're ready. We're ready. No, we all know what a rabbit is. Okay, some are looking forward to it more than others as far as going watching this whole demonstration. But no one's apprehensive until they bring out the cage. They bring out the cage, and the cage is covered. The cage has a poncho over the top of it. And most of us knew immediately, wait a minute, what's going on? There'd be no reason if you had a normal, ugly-looking rat of a wild rabbit, there'd be no reason you would have it in the cage covered up. Why would you have it covered up? There's no reason to cover it up. What's the sunlight going to hurt it? So already we knew. And I'll never forget, in front of me, my section leader's name, Black was his name. He's such a great dude. Black's his name. And this dude is a hard man. Like, if you saw him, you'd know. He has a scar going down from the top over one of his eyes. I forget which one of his eyes. And down, it goes across his eye, which missed his eye, and down in his cheek from a bar fight with the broken glass. I mean, he's just a very hard man, right? I watched that guy beat up a lot of people. He's sitting in front of me. And I'm sitting there. We're all sitting there. And eventually, the instructors up there, a bunch of sadistic freaks, they pull the poncho back. And it is seriously the biggest, fluffiest, most adorable thing you've ever seen in your entire life. It is the most adorable. And I'm not even, you know, I love my dog, right? Even though my dog's an idiot, I'm not even one of these animal freaks. Maybe you're one of these people. My wife's one of those people. I'm not one of those guys. I don't dislike animals. I don't torment animals. I don't shoot and wound animals. I don't do anything like that. But I'm not one of these. Oh, save the planet. I'm just not that way. Kill deer and eat them. It's whatever. I was looking at this thing thinking, oh, they're not going to hurt that bunny, are they? Hold on. Why do you have a pet bunny? No. Can't you go get one of the ugly bunnies? And I'll never forget the moment the instructor opens up the cage and reaches into the cage and he grabs this bunny and he grabs it like it's a little baby and he pulls it out of the cage. Tell me this isn't some of the darkest stuff you've ever heard in your life. I told you it was going to be a dark story. I've been warned never to tell it again. He grabs the bunny and pulls it out and holds it. He holds it in his arms and walks around with it in front of us, like a foot in front of us, so we can all, oh, I know, Chris, it was just the dirtiest thing ever. And Black in front of me reaches back when the bunny gets in front of him. He reaches back just trying to grab a hold of something and ends up getting a hold of the front of like my shin in my camo trousers. And he's like tearing off the skin. I'm like, Corporal, you got to let me go. I can't. And he starts freaking out. He's like, what are they going to do to the bunny? What are you doing to the bunny? If you have a strong stomach, I will explain what they do to the bunny, exactly how it went next, and then I'll tell you the helicopter story, and then we're going to talk about the welfare state in America and everything else. Now, you need men, though, that are hard to win a nation, do you not? To keep a nation? We don't have to love that side of life. I don't mind it, but you don't have to love that side of life to know, to acknowledge a nation needs to have hard men. Realize that. When I give you warnings about testosterone levels being half of what they were 50 years ago, I give you these warnings because I know if men are soft, this country is lost. It is. At Chalk, CHOQ, they have natural herbal supplements, U.S. manufacturing, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Natural herbal supplements. Go get a male vitality stack, fellas. Ladies, get a female vitality stack. Go to chalk.com, chOQ.com, promo code Jesse for 35% off the entire store. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Just a reminder to everybody.
You know, freedom is not free.
Freedom's not free, Chris. It is not free. And we're going to motor through some Ask Dr. Jesse questions here. We are currently stuck on it in case you just got back. Boy, are you in for a treat. I'm currently giving a little story about some mountain warfare training and an adorable little bunny they pulled out. I'm not going to recap the whole thing. Go back and listen. We're sitting in the bleachers in the mountains of California. They want to teach us how to, well, they already taught us how to capture. Now they're teaching us how to kill without weapons, kill, skin, and eat a bunny. They choose to bring out, because they're sadistic freaks, they choose to bring out the biggest, fluffiest, most adorable bunny ever. He walks around with it, holding it, snuggling it. He then grabs the back legs and holds it upside down. Apparently, this is the most efficient way to kill a bunny out there. He drapes the thing upside down. It stretches out their neck, Chris. Their neck's stretched out, and they can't do it. And you're trying to make it quick. And then he takes a stick, a very firm stick, and holds this adorable bunny up. Oh, don't even think this is the worst part of the story. That's still to come. He holds the bunny up, and whap! Nails it right in the back of the neck. It's not an instant death by any stretch of the imagination. And did you know that bunnies make a sound remarkably similar to little babies when they are in distress? You now have Marines, some of whom are crying in the bleachers, trying to cover it up, but crying, tears coming down their face. I was not crying, but that's just because I think my dad removed my tear ducts, but I was not doing great, obviously. However you're feeling right now, believe me, I was feeling the same way. We all were. And then the bunny's dead. The adorable bunny is dead. The instructor said, now we have to learn how to put it to use. He picks the bunny up and he sucks the eyeball out of the head and eats it in front of us and then asks for volunteers to eat the eyeball. On my life, that's a true story. That's why you don't join the infantry, kids. All right? You want to live that infantry life? There you go. That's what it is. Now, I will say this for mountain warfare training. That's not the only sadistic thing they make you do, by the way. Don't think that was some kind of a one-off. Another part of the training was mountain streams. They're virtually all snow and ice runoff. So it can be the middle of the summer, 90 degrees. That stream is oftentimes borderline freezing cold. Freezing. They made us at one point in time lock arms and get in this gigantic, basically mountain river up to our necks. And they made us go out in the water and just stand there. Now, you might be asking yourself the same thing we were asking ourselves. Why? What are we doing here? I don't need to come stand in this up to my neck to understand it's really, really, really cold. Do you know why they made us do that? Because they thought it would be hilarious to make us stand into the water until we were borderline hypothermic and then have us walk up to the shore. And when you walk out, when you're in water that numb, your body doesn't work anymore. And basically, you can't walk. You almost look like like somebody with some sort of a nerve disease, some sort of palsy or something like that. You're shaking. Your body doesn't work. And the instructors stood there and they laughed at us and they thought it was hilarious and they made fun of all of us. So that's the kind of stuff you're in the mood for. But you do get to do some cool stuff like this. You know what a Black Hawk is, right? A Black Hawk helicopter. You've seen Black Hawk Down. You know what a Black Hawk is. We did have various times in mountain warfare training where we would go do night operations because they want to make sure you learn how to operate up there at night. You had to rappel down a mountainside at night. You had to mountain rock climb at night. We had to assault various things at night. And one of the things we did at night was we got to get in these Black Hawk helicopters to go from location to location. And we had NVGs, night vision goggles on. And look, we're just regular grunt Marines. I'm not one of these fancy Green Beret types. But when you're flying just above the trees through the mountains in a Black Hawk helicopter, looking out with NVGs at the pine trees below you, they look like they're about 6 inches below you. I mean, yeah, you feel like you might die because they're not putzing through the mountains. You're flying through the mountains. That's about as big of an adrenaline rush as you can dig up in this lifetime, man. That's good stuff. Now, the welfare state. I lamented, I think it was on last night's show, they just did a Pew Research study, if I remember right, showing America has the highest percentage of single-family homes in, I think it was 140 countries or something like that they studied. So not the whole world, but the bulk of it. And it was more one of those things where I was just putting it out there on the air. Man, I don't understand how that happened to a country that's so blessed. How do we wreck ourselves so badly? How do we wreck the American family? And someone wrote in and said, our large welfare state has destroyed the family. And look, some of that, I agree and I disagree. Look, did you know, I mean, a lot has been made about single parent homes in the Black community now. And I make a lot of that because it is a gigantic deal. I think the number is 72% or something like that. That's staggering. 72% of Black kids grew up in a single family home. And people will say things like, oh, it's Black people and Black, it's what Black people do. Did you know prior to the passing of all that great society crap under LBJ, did you know, and we're talking 1950s, we're talking segregation era time, did you know 75% of Black kids grew up in a two-parent household, mom and dad in the home? The Black family was actually in outstanding, and I mean outstanding shape in this country, outstanding shape and thriving, big time thriving. It prompted a lot of the moves to places like Detroit. They moved out to places like LA. They were working in the manufacturing sector, great lives. Again, dad, mom in the house, kids, I mean, just thriving. And then LBJ came along and everyone knows the story. I won't use the off-color remarks he did. LBJ essentially came along and said, this is a voting block for us. Let's do a massive government handout program to them, and they'll vote for us forever. We'll have them voting for us forever. Turned out LBJ was pretty correct about that whole thing. It turned out he was right about that whole thing. And, I mean, you look at the state, you went from 75% with two-parent homes. Less than a century later, now it's about 75% in one-parent homes. Clearly, welfare state has a lot to do with it. So I'm not going to say you're an idiot. But I am going to disagree a little bit on that being the reason why, and I'll explain in just a second. If it keeps on
raining, love is going. Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts. I was introduced and we both started
grooving. She said, I figured, baby, but I got to. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I answer this welfare state thing, I'm sorry. Once again, I have to credit RNC Research. This long montage of Joe Biden's problems, I'm going to play it again because I feel like it's almost over. I feel like they're going to run him out after the midterms. They're very clearly going to hide him leading up to the midterms. And then we're not going to have him anymore. And don't get me wrong, we're going to have Dome. And she'll be fun. And she'll be a disaster. And it'll be fun to make fun of her too. But man, just sit back. And I know it's all baked in the cake for us at this point in time. But sit back and just ponder for about a minute and a half. This human being is the president of the United States of America.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway, from Charlotte, another line going from in Florida down to Tampa.
Of Putin's kleptocracy. Yeah.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him.
The idea that
Los Angeles and what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. I had to stop it. It's too much. All right. Guy said the welfare state destroyed the family. And it, look, there's no question that played a part in it, obviously. I just read you some numbers from the black community in this country. There's staggering numbers. From 75% of the households having two-parent households in the 50s to just about that number now having single-parent, all that great society, LBJ stuff. That there's no question that had a lot to do with it. But I think we're discounting something. And it's something we always have to keep in mind because it applies to everything, really. Everything good and decent. Like, let's talk about the family. The family is the bedrock of any society. It is. With strong families, a society will be strong. With weak families, a society will be weak. And if you don't have strong families, you cannot have a strong society. It's not possible. And it's not possible to have a strong society with weak families. It's just not. Period. You have weak family, weak society. Strong family, strong society. That's a fact. History proves that to be a fact. So why do we have weak families? Why are we number one in the world for single family households? We forget sometimes that everything good and decent about our country, everything, is being attacked. It's being attacked at all times, and it's being attacked from so many different places. Remember, it's not like it's just one thing or one outlet that is attacking something like the family or something that's good and decent. We're being attacked from all sides, which makes us feel surrounded, and frankly, we are. Let's see, who's attacking the American family? Well, very early. Look, it starts very early now. I don't care how offended you are by this. Remember, the email address is jesse@jessekellyshow.com if you're offended, but I'm about to tell you some hard things to hear, but they're still true. Starting now, very early, turn on children's programming and look what it's saying to young girls. Look what children's programming is telling young women. You're just as good as the men. You're just as strong as the men. You should go have a career. Oh, don't be this. Go, I am woman. Hear me roar. Take over the boardroom. Shatter that glass ceiling. You go, girl. Right there. Starts early. That's an attack on the family. Young ladies now, not all of them, obviously. Young ladies don't grow up dreaming about finding Prince Charming and raising a wonderful family, making a wonderful home. They grow up, I want you, you go, girl. That's an attack on the family. All the Chris just held up a sign. He's right. The Black Lives Matter, they had it written right on their issues page on their website. It took them forever to delete it. It was laid out how they think the nuclear family, man, woman, kids, they want to destroy it. They view it as a negative. It's written that they lay this out. So there. Happens early with entertainment. Happens a lot with all this. That's what a lot of this LGBTQ, that's what a lot of that stuff is. Setting aside any other argument you want to make with all the LGBTQ Air Force stuff, how about this? I read you the numbers that now 30% of millennials are identifying LGBTQ whatever. Whatever you think about that, you understand that that means the end of our civilization, right? Because if that's true, then we won't produce enough babies because babies are only produced when men get together with women and make babies. If we are really in a place where 30% of our country is LGBTQ Air Force, we are at the end of the United States of America. There won't be enough children to keep the country going. So that's attacking it. Music attacks it. People don't go to church as much as they used to. That attacks it. Remember something about religion. I'm not here to preach at you, and I never will, but remember something. There's a reason from the tiniest tribe to the biggest country, nations all have religions, and it's not a small thing. It's not just this passing thing. Oh, it's so stupid. Oh, it's superstitious. A religion in a country, it is the sun. The entire country, every part of it, the laws, the family, the everything, it all revolves around the religion of that nation. If your nation doesn't have one, you are getting ready to spin out and go off into the universe somewhere. You must have one. And again, even tiny tribes have understood that with their weirdo beliefs. I'm going to worship the dirt or whatever. You can call it weird or whatever. And a lot of that stuff is very weird. But even they understood we have to have some sort of a pole that will center us as a society. We don't have that anymore. We're less religious now than we've ever been. Less family than we've ever been. It continues up through a child's education. It continues up through entertainment out there. Now, I've complained about this before and don't think it's a small thing. It's very, very real. I talked about what girls see on TV. What do men see now? What are you supposed to be as a dude? You're either supposed to be gay or act gay half the time, or you're supposed to be very feminine, or you're supposed to be the big dumb oaf. I don't know how to do 2 + 2, honey. I'm too busy hitting myself in the head with a hammer. Can my wife come save me? I'm just a poor, stupid guy. Over and over and over again, we pour that into people. We had someone call in earlier this week. Our legal system attacks the American family now, the way they attack men and demonize men, and that's 100% true as well. When we talk about the destruction of the American family, and I was thinking about this a lot after I brought it up in the air the other night, we want to boil it down to one thing, you know, like the welfare state or something like that. But the truth is, from all different sides, the American family has been and is being attacked in every single direction. And look, that's our culture now. You don't want that to be our culture. I don't want that to be our culture. But that is now who and what we are. That is our culture. We have an American family under assault. And without a country, without strong families, we don't have a country anymore. All right. Someone wants me to run for office. I'm going to talk about that. And we have Democrats switching to Republicans. Someone wants to know if I would work for DeSantis or Trump. Give everything up. I will give you answers to all these things and much more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And again, I want to bring up something to you. What I keep saying, and it's going to be a common theme now. We have to understand the stakes of the game when it comes to the climate change insanity, the climate change hoax that's out there. One, carbon is not poison. The second you hear a politician or a pundit talk about, we need to reduce carbon, that person is at best a useful idiot. If not, they're flat out working for the other side. If you're going to give them the carbon is poison argument, you've already lost the game. That's one. Two, understand something. These people, their goal is mass genocide. Mass genocide. Don't listen, don't believe me. Here it is again, Jane Goodall. She lays it out pretty well. She's very comfortable saying this on camera.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
Remember, one of the original climate change guys talked about how the Earth needs a reduction in population by billions. Well, I mean, you're carbon. You're the poison. What's that thing you see all the time? You're the carbon they want to reduce. That's not my saying, but I'll take credit for it now since it's my show. Anyway, that's my saying. But it's true. These people don't know. Well, many of them don't know they're genocidal monsters. They don't know, but they are. All these people are genocidal monsters. This is a little long. I want you to listen to this person. This person doesn't understand. He's describing the death of millions, or maybe he does. And frankly, it doesn't matter whether he understands he's a genocidal monster or not. The point is he must be stopped.
It's an issue you feel very strongly about. You've said that agriculture is arguably the most destructive industry on earth. Explain, and do you still believe that?
Just want to pause here. Sorry. Agriculture? Is the most destructive industry on earth? How the world eats? Remember, that's how we eat. Agriculture is how we eat. They view that as being the most destructive industry on earth. The industry that allows you to eat, they think it's destructive.
George,
It's by far and away the greatest cause of habitat destruction, the greatest cause of wildlife loss, the greatest cause of extinction, greatest cause of soil loss, greatest source of fresh water use. It's one of the greatest causes of climate breakdown, bigger than transport, one of the primary causes of water pollution and of air pollution. So it's right at the top. Oh, and sorry, I forgot to say land use, the biggest issue of all. It's by far and away the greatest form of land use that humans inflict on the planet, which means all that land is land which can't be used for wild ecosystems. And while obviously we need farming, we need to minimize those impacts. We need to act as drastically within that sector as any other sector to prevent the collapse of our life support systems. And what that means above all else is getting...
Just hang on. The collapse of our life support systems. This is important. This is an important part you have to understand about the communist in his mindset. I talk about how they're genocidal monsters, and they are, and how they would kill a billion people, and they would, at least. But understand this. Always, always understand what truly makes the communist so dangerous is he thinks he's the good guy. Look, these people, the problem is it's not just some wing nut there. This guy's, his ideology rules the world. They think you eating is a negative for the planet. Why do you think I've been telling you about my Patriot Supply? A 3-month emergency food supply. Why might you need that? Oh, I don't know, because they're trying to wreck the food supply. They have $150 off for my listeners right now. You have to go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. 2,000 calories a day of sustainable energy. As long as these people are attacking our food sources, we are going to have problems, and I don't know how bad they're going to be. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com and sign up today. My Patriot Supply has more 4- and 5-star reviews than you can count. They will take care of you. Get one of these for yourself and your family. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Remember, I've brought up this story before. Pol Pot, percentage-wise, is the most genocidal monster who ever lived because he killed 25% of his own country in something like 4 or 5 years. He took over in a quarter of his country, gone by the time he's done. And they sat down and interviewed him. He lived, sadly, to be a very old man, or in his 70s. They sat down with him, and he said, I'm not a violent person. I don't have any regrets. It's all good. These people think they're the good guys.
Out of livestock farming is really shutting down animal farming altogether, because that has massively disproportionate impacts on the living planet, and we need to switch towards other sources of food, plant-based diets, which are far more efficient, far lower environmental impacts, but also switch out of farming altogether to produce protein-rich foods, which we can do through precision fermentation, brewing,
George,
microbes.
I can hear farmers all over this small country of ours shocked and perhaps screaming at their televisions because they're saying, are you saying all animal farming, in your opinion, really needs to stop?
Yes, it does. It really does. It's a bit like leaving fossil fuels in the ground. Unless we do that, we've really got very little chance indeed of preventing this domino effect of system collapse right across Earth systems, which basically makes the planet uninhabitable. So eating meat and milk and eggs is an indulgence we cannot afford.
I would love to see that guy's fridge. Oh, I love, you know it's full of meat and eggs, Chris. You know it's full of meat and eggs and cheese and everything. It's an indulgence we can't afford. See, that person with his British accent sounds... look, even if you disagree with him, he doesn't sound like a monster, right? I mean, you know what monsters look like. You've seen pictures of serial killers. You know what Hitler looks like. I mean, that guy looks... You can see a picture of him. You can look at that video. It's online. It's just basically a dork. This basically looks like an older dork. No insult to dorks. Chris is a huge nerd. But that's not very nice, Chris. But that guy's a genocidal monster. He's talking about genocide. All right. Dear Mr. Almighty, I received good news today. My father-in-law changed his voting registration from Democrat to Republican. Over 40 years he was a Democrat. Obama opened his eyes to see that the party was turning communist. Thank you for your wisdom and happy late birthday. I hope you partied like the old man that you are. I bet you went to Red Lobster. He said I can say his name. His name is Nate. I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, we obviously went out to dinner. The wife made the mistake of telling me that she would wear whatever I wanted her to wear. And so we have these shirts that have my face on them. So I wore a t-shirt. This is a true story. I wore a t-shirt with my face on it. And the wife also had to wear a t-shirt with my face on it. We have a picture up on, I think it's on my Instagram page or something like that. Chris, it's up there somewhere. It's on social media out there. She wasn't that happy. Look, she wasn't as happy as I was about the whole thing. I thought it was really, really outstanding. And then, look, hey, I turned 41, not 21. We went home and we watched a movie with the kids. Look, that's what I wanted to do for my birthday, okay? It's my birthday. I don't like doing a lot of stuff. Oh, I'll tell you, I already told you about the pizza oven the wife got. She did get me a great shirt that she forgot to give me until today. You know what it says? She says it's made for me, and it is. The shirt says, "Sorry I'm late. I didn't want to come." All right. Somebody wants to know, will I run for office? Someone else wants to know, would I work for Trump or DeSantis? There's some dime out there who wants to know, do I think the majority of the show's female listeners are dimes? Somebody wants to talk about divorcing her husband because she screwed up the Jesse Kelly burgers. Someone wants to know about people disarming us. Somebody wants to talk about the positives of Hitler. That doesn't sound like a good idea. All that's still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.